How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 16th of February, 2021. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. And Andrew Orr, I have with me as well. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Now, we're here today to talk to you about iOS 14.5. It's coming. And what we've seen out of it so far in the developer betas, anyway, is pretty great. So, Dave, I want to start with you and a thing that you have been using from the... In fact, maybe the thing that prompted you to install a developer beta, and that is a new way to unlock your phone.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, your Face ID phone.
My Face ID phone, correct. Yeah, well, as anybody knows with masks, Face ID does not work. But 14.5 remedies that, if you haven't heard. And if you are wearing an Apple Watch that has a passcode and is unlocked, your phone, if it detects a face with a mask and Face ID, can then decide to unlock with your watch. And it's truly seamless. Like, if... I've forgotten that the feature exists. Like, I use my phone like I always use my phone, and it just wakes up and I'm good to go. So yeah, that's just beta one, right? So clearly they've been working on this for a while. They didn't want to roll this out and have it be super frustrating. And to be fair, there have been moments where it's like, why didn't it work? I have to type my password in like a caveman. But for the most part, it works and it's fantastic. So yeah, that was the reason that I put beta one on my daily driver, and I do not regret it. In addition, it's been remarkably stable too. So that, other than one day of like awful battery utilization for no explainable reason, which may or may not be related to the beta, right? Like, that happens sometimes, but it did happen in the last week. Other than that, it's been rock solid. So
that's fantastic. We were very curious about that when it came out and started hearing about it. So I'm glad that you installed it, and then it seems to be working pretty well. And again, this is a Face ID phone where you've set up Face ID, and you also have a watch, and you've set a passcode on your watch and are currently wearing it and all of that. It'll work for you. So if you meet all those requirements, then it sounds like it's pretty great. Now, Andrew, you found a couple of features related to Apple Card. Not Apple Pay, but the Apple Card, and then something else with wallet, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so these are pretty interesting. I think the first one is going to be good for people with family members. There will be an Apple Card family sharing feature coming, which will let you, instead of having to get multiple credit cards for your family, you can, excuse me, you'll be able to add multiple users to one Apple Card account. And then there will be some features like spending limits. So, you know, you could add your kid to your account, set a limit on them, and tell them to go have fun with the credit card.
Within limits. Yeah, okay. So this is similar to the Apple Pay Cash, where you can set an allowance and have, like, on someone else's account. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Okay. And then the wallet feature?
And so another one is, I'm excited about this one because this was actually on my wish list, so I couldn't cross something off.
Nice.
Now, as a sort of privacy feature built into it, when you get an Apple Card, Apple doesn't let third-party apps like Mint plug into your Apple Card directly. You have to export that data out of the wallet app and into one of those other apps. But the people over at 9to5 Mac, they found code in iOS 14.5 called FinHealth. And it sounds like it would be Apple's... I don't know if this would be... It sounds like it's another Apple Card feature instead of maybe wallet. Like, I'm not sure if we'd be able to work with multiple cards, but with the Apple Card, it sounds like it will have its own sort of budgeting feature. They say this could mean new financial health features that give automated suggestions to improve your finances. So that sounds really cool to me.
Yeah. Especially because, like you said, you can't, your Apple Card can't interact with other apps that you may be using for the same stuff. So definitely interesting, especially when you add that to more users on an Apple Card. That's going to be pretty interesting. So, Now, Dave, you have one that you've actually been using sporadically that was a feature that's coming to Maps.
Yeah, the first time you use Maps to go somewhere, so you enter a destination or you tell Siri to, you know, get you a destination, it will tell you, hey, now you can report accidents, hazards, and speed checks. It doesn't say it quite like that, but that's the message. And you can do this via Siri, or you can do it either on the phone screen or on a CarPlay screen. There's a new report button inside Maps, and you can report one of those three things. Presumably, once Apple's database is sort of online and up and running in your area, you might then also get alerts about such things coming up in your path, or maybe it'll route around them, or whatever it might do. Similar to Waze, right? This is very much Waze-like functionality. Hopefully, they don't start assigning points to us. I always sort of worried about gamifying playing with my phone while I'm driving. I didn't really like the idea of encouraging that. You know, there you go. So that's in 14.5. And like I said, my guess is once it rolls out, we'll see it. So.
Interesting. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I like the idea of perhaps getting an option to not have to use Waze, because this will do some of the same stuff that Waze is doing. And that seems good. So,
note, Waze versus Apple Maps. I was very much a Waze person for several years because Apple Maps in our area was terrible. And when I got my 12 mini back in the fall, I set it up from scratch, so I didn't migrate over to it. Mm-hmm. I have not put Waze on my phone since. I've been only using Apple Maps and have had no reason to put anything, to load Waze on there. So if it's been a while, try Apple Maps again. You might be pleasantly surprised.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I'm curious about that one. So Andrew, you found another one. This is something that we talk about a lot over on Security Friday. We have a couple of sort of data related features here.
Yeah, so a couple of things we've talked about on Security Friday, like you said. So just as a reminder, one of them is probably the most talked about coming in 14.5, and that is app tracking transparency. And it's kind of a revamp of the old system, which was just a toggle in settings called limit ad tracking. If you had that toggle turned on, your advertising identifier would just be a bunch of zeros, and so apps couldn't really use it to give you more personalized ads. So app tracking transparency is a little bit different than that. It kind of gives you a little bit more control. So once it's turned on or off, I forget what the default setting is, if an app wants to track you using some of the data that it collects from you, it will have to ask you. The system will give you a pop-up that says, do you want to allow this app to track you? And you can say yes or no. And then it's different than the old setting in that you can go back in settings and change your mind if you want to have that app track you in the future.
Okay.
You know, if you do want personalized ads, then you can go back and, you know, change your mind. Okay. The second feature is called private click measurement. This is a way for Apple to, it's trying to find a balance between tracking users via their user or device IDs with some of the data reports that advertisers can get. So this will be in Safari. Let's see. So here's the quote that I said. So it's, this trade-off is going to be, it will send an attribution report if you click on something, like if you click on an ad, the advertiser won't get that data right away. So This report will be inside a dedicated private browsing mode without any cookies, and Apple will delay these reports randomly between 24 and 40 hours to disassociate events in time.
Okay.
And I took that to mean maybe it'll make it like the advertisers will still know that people are clicking on their ads, but it sounds like maybe it will be harder for people, advertisers to track people across the web.
Yeah, it's not, you'll be able to tell 100 people clicked on it, but not which 100, and yeah, continue exactly. Sort of pestering them, I think. So, it's going to be interesting, I think, to see how that evolves over time, as because maybe that's not going to be the worst thing. That was definitely one, yeah. I think we talked about it, that seemed like it might be a compromise, so that advertisers can get the information that they want, but people aren't leaving a wide swath of personal data in their wake just by looking things up. So I'm curious how that's going to go. Now, Dave, you had one that I know at least one person is... Actually, I take it back. I know at least two people are going to be very excited about, and this is an additional feature of Fitness Plus.
Yeah. So we were talking yesterday, in fact, here on the show, that Fitness Plus only works with an Apple TV. That's one of the things
right.
that is like unique to the Apple TV, is that it allows you to do Fitness Plus on your television. 14.5 changes that because it allows Fitness Plus to be AirPlayed from your device, presumably an iPhone or an iPad, that remains to be seen, but certainly from yep. an iPhone to, you know, you can AirPlay from your phone to your TV and do your Fitness Plus workout that way. TechCrunch wrote a piece about this a week or two ago, and they said that the biggest difference, though, is that the metrics, like your rings, your calories burned, etc., are not displayed on the AirPlayed screen. So okay. you'll have to look at your watch or your iPhone for that data.
Okay.
Which, you know, so just bear that in mind as you're making yeah. your decision. But if you don't have an Apple TV and you do have an AirPlay capable TV or streaming box, then, you know, you're good to go. So there you go.
And I know that's a thing a number of people have been looking for.
Absolutely.
Even just getting to play it on an iPad, even if you don't AirPlay it anywhere, is another piece of that. So maybe that'll come in 14.5. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I haven't tested 14.5 on an iPad yet, so I don't know. But but yes, you're right. Part of the issue is the watch and the iPad don't seem to like to sync very much. Yeah,
they don't speak. So, we don't know why. I'm sure there's a story there.
They don't speak. Yeah, I'm sure there is. That's right. Yep. Yeah, but very cool.
Yeah, definitely. At least having the option to view the exercises on a bigger screen is definitely a plus.
It makes a huge difference. I don't know if you folks have done any Fitness Plus stuff, but being able to just be in the living room and have the volume loud on your TV and see it and, you know, make it that much more immersive. It helps in a big way. Yeah,
definitely. I like it for being able to see what the person's doing when I... And like to follow along if it's a workout I haven't done before. Like seeing them on my TV versus seeing them on my phone makes a massive difference.
So yeah, totally.
I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I expect we'll hear a lot more about Fitness Plus here on Daily Observations. Let's see. But right now, Andrew, you also have something about dual SIM situations for folks.
Yeah, so I think this may have started with the iPhone 12. The past couple of iPhones have had support for dual SIM. So we still have the physical SIM port, and then there's also an option for an eSIM. So if you have an iPhone 12, that comes with 5G, depending on if your carrier supports it. Now, in the beginning, it didn't work with dual SIM mode, unless... you were in mainland China.
Okay.
So now the update is 5G will work on both SIMs.
Okay. That's good to know. So like even in the eSIM, we're good with that. So okay. Interesting. Okay. I didn't realize that didn't work because I'm not currently using it, but
Yeah, it's a weird issue. It's that if you have dual SIM, you can't use 5G on either of them, right?
Like, oh,
it's,
okay.
Yeah,
that's and so the issue.
This solves that problem. Yeah, it's weird. It doesn't. I'm sure there's a good technical reason for it, but like many things, it's magic because we don't understand it, and now they've fixed it. So there you go.
Cool. I didn't realize it was affecting your other account as well. So it's even better that they're resolving it now. So excellent. Yeah. Dave, you had one about a new default app that you can set. Like with 14, that came with 14, right? That you could set a default mail app, a default browser, those sorts of things, and not necessarily have to rely on the ones that Apple gave you.
Correct. And now you can do the same with a music service in 14.5. The weird part is how you do it.
Okay.
There doesn't yet appear to be a way where you can go into somewhere in settings and change it. That might be there. We just haven't found it yet.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem like anyone has found it yet. The way you do it is you say, you know, S-Lady, play me a song by Rush on Apple Music. And it will be like, okay, great. You know, here's that. But or you could say, play me a song by Rush on Spotify. And then, boom, it will change your app. Sometimes it will show you a list that you can pick from. But not all the times. Mm.
Okay.
And so it's very much this kind of the way to think about it currently is just like on your Mac, you know, you can go into system preferences and go into printers and scanners. And if you have more than one, you can change your default from either being one of the many printers that you have or last printer used.
Yeah.
So this is very much a last music service used becomes your new default. So that could get really confusing really quickly.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that there, as the beta moves forward, that there's some very definitive way of saying, no, make this my default. And then if I say to play it on Spotify, great. But otherwise, always play on Apple Music. Like, you know, whatever that is would be,
Yeah, so, having some transparency into that would be a definite.
Yeah. It would be, but I'm saying that from a very Dave-centric point of view where I have multiple music services for a variety of reasons, one of them being this job, you know. I'm guessing most people don't subscribe to multiple music services. So maybe this particular way of doing it isn't terrible for the majority of users, right? If you just say play on Spotify, then that could be the end of it. Like it's just going to know, which of course is part of the beauty of Apple's magic.
That would be great. Now our last tip, or I guess sneak peek at a feature that's coming in 14.5 comes from Andrew. And this is a new feature for an old function.
Yes. So the Reminders app is kind of catching up with other apps like Apple Notes. For example, in Apple Notes, you can sort notes by their title or the creation date. Mm-hmm. And now this kind of sorting is coming to the Reminders app. So the default way is manual, which is no sorting at all. Mm-hmm. But then you'll also be able to sort reminders by their due date, their creation date, their priority, and their title. So if you're a heavy user of reminders, and that is your default app, this is great news. And it sounds like you can also print your reminders as well.
Interesting. That was the old feature I was talking about, was now you can print them. the very exciting thing about having a to-do list right there on your phone is now that you can print it. So, which can be helpful if you don't have an Apple Watch and you use reminders for your grocery list. Like, you can just take a piece of paper and quit having to unlock your phone all day long. So,
yeah,
sure, that works. So this is where I have to sort of swoop in with the killjoy of this is all beta right now. These are all things that are coming to an actual release. The developer beta is in beta 1 right now. We may get another one or more iterations of it before all of this stuff is released to the public. So if you wanted to get your hands on all of this today, there are gyrations to go through to install developer beta on any device. And There Be Dragons is the portion of the map that we're in right now. I know, Dave, you said it was reasonably stable, but we still don't have it yet as a public release.
I think
so.
The public beta 14.5 came out last week, no? I thought that was out on Friday.
Yeah.
It is.
Make
but
it out.
Okay, so there's a public beta, which is still a beta, and it hasn't been released. So if that's where you're drawing a line, you know, beta or not, then just know that all of this stuff is still in a beta. You can sign up for the public beta, which is not too hard to do. But again, beta. Keep that in mind as we
for sure.
All of these have a little disclaimer on the end of them. So that's going to do it for us. So I want to thank Dave and Andrew for joining me today. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.